Hi, everybody. Mike Bloom here. Before we get into the B&B this week, in true alignment with Dr. Mike appearing on RHAP proper, I just wanted to give a little bit of a disclaimer. We get a bit into Jeff Probst's innuendos in one of our games, and suffice it to say, it gets pretty darn explicit, even more explicit than we usually are on the B&B. So I just want to give you a warning in advance if that is not really your cup of tea. It happens at about like the 48-minute mark and goes until about an hour and 5 minutes in. So if you're not into that stuff, feel free to skip ahead. There's plenty of other stuff we discuss in this podcast otherwise, but just want to give you all fair warning because we delve a bit deeper than we usually do into some of that more explicit territory. But for now, hope you enjoyed the show. Take it away, Will from America.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B. My name is Mike Bloom, talking about episode 9 of Survivor GI, which means both Ghost Island and Gastrointestinal in this particular episode. But I'm so excited to be back talking about Survivor on the B&B. First, let me bring on, fresh from London, Libiana Borchek. Libiana, how you doing?
Thanks, Mike. Really happy to be here. It was so much fun to talk to Rob on Thursday, and now I'm happy to be here to be at the B&B. This is, you know, I went from one vacation to another, but this one I think is going to be a little bit more fun.
Yeah, the Lib B&B, I think we'll have to bring you as another silent partner. But of course, we have another guest that we are so excited to bring in. We are welcoming back for the very first time on the BNB, someone who has more eyes on the Walking Dead franchise than fish eyes that showed up in this episode. Jessica Lees, welcome to the BNB.
Thanks very much. You guys can just call me GI Jess.
Wait, Mike, what was the GI in this episode that you are referencing?
Gastrointestinal.
Yeah, I know, but just because what? Because they ate tacos?
Well, they ate a bunch of other stuff besides tacos, Liana.
And because the gross food eating challenge. Okay, I was just thinking the distress side of things. I feel like we saw things go in, but not the other end of that. But okay. All right. I see where you're coming from. I get it.
Yeah, and luckily no secret scenes that got into detail about what came out. But Jess, we are so excited to have you on the B&B. I'm going to start off by doing what we usually do with our new guests here. I feel like, and maybe this is me misremembering, I feel like I've heard your Survivor origin story at some point once upon a time through the number of years we've been corresponding. But for the audience at home, what is the time that you started watching the show? When did you start getting into it? Were you a day one watcher?
I wasn't a day one watcher. I was about a day 18 watcher. Basically, I was overseas for the summer of 2000. And I get back to the States in the middle of the summer and everybody's watching this show. So I have to see what everybody else is doing. And I get hooked immediately. I think the first episode I saw was the J for Jenna boot.
Mm.
And I haven't missed an episode since.
Gretchen Cordy is weeping.
I know. She's so like, wow, someone did not start with my boot episode. This is what it feels like when doves cry.
Shot to the heart.
So we've heard you, you know, a few episodes back on The Wiggle Room when we sort of got your thoughts on the season. Aside from unfulfilled bets, what have your thoughts been on the season in the few episodes since you've last talked about it?
I think it's shaping up to be pretty great. I think there's been a lot of talk about this on the 9 hours of podcasting that I listen to weekly within this network, chiefly, where we have pretty much determined that there are probably 5 people that have a shot and most of the rest of these chumps really don't, but there are 5 people who have a shot. And that's much more exciting than I think many seasons at this point, we kind of already know who the players are. And right now it really could go a couple of different ways. And I think all of those ways are potentially very exciting.
Actually, that's really interesting that you bring that up, because I think that there have been people who have said, OK, I'm not crazy about the editing this season because there's, you know, only sort of the 5 people or that they're really focusing on. And then everybody else sort of gets left in the dust. But I think in order to convincingly set up four or five people to win. They have to all get a decent amount of screen time. And then if you're going to focus on those five people, then there's really no time to, you know, focus on anybody else. Whereas like if you have one or two people that get a lot of screen time, then everybody else kind of gets a little bit. You know, I think it's interesting to think about like those two different editing scenarios and what the pros and cons of each of them are.
Yeah, I know Survivor Reddit has been swarming around Chelsea in particular. They feel like she has been done dirty by the edit so far.
She's winning.
She's participating, just like Jeff said in the challenge. No, it was in the reward challenge, right? I said Chelsea fulfilling her goal of participating.
Yes, that was so good. So great. She did participate. You participate, girl.
Hey, nothing would make me happier than to see a Chelsea victory after all of this.
Man, that's like
she just shows up.
She just sits her way to the finale. Actually, can you imagine? It's just one troll by the editors this season. They're just like, oh, yes. Psych. All you people that read the edit, take this edgic and shove it. Chelsea wins.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the editors are thinking like, OK, we know that our last season ended a bit contentiously. You know what we should do? Let's just keep like poking the bear. That is the Survivor fan base. Let's keep riling them up, you know, because that's going to do really good well for us.
Yes, really good well for us indeed. Nothing would make them happier.
I mean, the Survivor editors, they might have needed to edit their own words, considering that they use two different adjectives there. I mean, you make an interesting point, though, about, you know, there being five or so people that are sort of in contention, because I do feel like, I don't know, I personally feel like the flock is starting to sort of form around Wendell in particular. And maybe it's just because we have Stephen Fishback really, I wouldn't even say doubling down, like quintupling down on his episode one Wendell prediction, where it sort of is, for me at least, something that I can't get out of my head, which sort of stinks because I want to see the bigger picture and see the other chance that some of these other people like your Kellens and your Laurels and even your Donathans can have. But maybe this is just me, but I have Wendell on the brain, especially after this most recent episode where, you know, he definitely had, even though a lot of people were saying this was Angela's episode in particular, it was a lot of Wendell, too.
Yeah, once we started hearing about Nicole, then I was like, uh-oh, this is the personal stuff. Like, Wendell's allowed to talk about somebody who's not even on the island. Wendell is, he's there.
That means one of two things most of the time. It either means he's going to go deep, or he's going to be gone. You get that sob story. I guess this is more of an Amazing Race editing tactic. But the second you see someone in a confessional being like, oh, my God, I missed my loved ones so much. And I, you know, here's my past and here are all the people at home. You're like, yeah, that's because you're about to go join them.
Or you're going to at least on Survivor, you'll make the family visit and we'll get to see Nicole.
Yeah, just speaking of the Amazing Race, do we technically count the immunity challenge as a five hole for Sebastian, considering he said he is a seafood entrepreneur?
Well, is a seafood entrepreneur like a meat collector?
Yeah, I don't know. Pretty much the same thing.
No, because I feel like meat collecting is more of a hobby, whereas seafood entrepreneur, like, for some reason, I have the image of Sebastian being in like Shark Tank, which is appropriate given his profession, but him sort of, I don't know, shilling out the shells, as it were, by saying like, all right, well, this is a grouper. Lori, you in on this?
Oh, my God. I just realized how badly I need Sebastian to go on Shark Tank. Oh, that'd be so good.
You guys are giving him way too much credit. I think he's mostly like doing this multi-level marketing scheme where it's like he calls you up and invites you out to lunch and you think, oh, I get to hang out with Seabass. And then it's like, no, he's selling you fish shakes.
All right. You want to go out and get some Stony Bologna? And let me talk to you about a condo down on the beach.
It's completely filled with candy and sea slugs.
Oh, boy.
It's a chance to be your own boss.
Gagorific, as Sebastian also coined in this episode. Yeah. By the way, happy 420 to Sebastian.
Oh, man. That's why. Yeah, I think I saw somewhere on Reddit. That's why his hair has like flattened out. Like there was a car, or no, was that on a podcast? I don't know. I don't remember. I just so much Survivorness going on in my head. But yeah, because he was like hiding his stash up there and he just fully celebrated on 420. Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's do our own little celebration here. Let's celebrate the most recent boot in Libby, aka Liana's alter ego, which is now going to make for, like, I don't know, some sort of fun pop culture parody of, like, Jekyll and Hyde, Leona Libby at some point. It has to be done. But as per usual, we're going to read our predictions for how we thought Libby was going to do preseason. Jess, it is your job to figure out which one of us, most likely Leona, was more closely hewn to the events that actually played out. Leona, why don't you start?
Oh, man, Mike. Okay, well... yeah. Okay. So this is what I wrote for Libby preseason, which now I actually feel real bad about this because whatever. So I had Libby making the jury, and this is what I wrote for Libby. As the third member of the jury, Libby's boot marks the start of the painful elimination of the Ghost of Patrick alliance.
Oh, that's back again.
This really doesn't make any sense because we haven't had any real setup for the Ghost of Patrick alliance, I think, except for in James's boot. But anyway, okay. So the GOP only survived the previous merge boots due to idols and twists.
You call that them could the only GOP?
Yeah. I thought it was funny. But that could only save them for so long. They're no Ben Dreebergen. Libby survived the preseason with her charm, but that's it. I didn't finish it.
How drunk were you when you wrote this one?
Barely, not enough. I was going to say you're finishing Libby's prediction.
You're pretty sure to be like 11th place. I think, like, unless you're a lightweight, you were not at Morgan yet.
I think I just didn't care. I think I probably was like, oh, okay, it's all right. This is boring. I'll go back to it later. And then I did not. So that's how it ended.
You didn't even put a blurb in there.
Nope. I didn't even like write, hey, finish this later. Yeah. It was just Libby survived the preseason with her charm, but.
Unless you misspelled butt and you were just trying to make like really end it with the end, quite literally.
With her charm butt?
With her charm butt. I feel like then I would have put a peach emoji. I don't know. Anyway, so that's all I got.
So you can reverse the curse or you must succumb to the charmed butt. These are sort of the magical properties that Survivor has given us in his 36th season.
Actually, that's going to be on Ghost Island. Can you reverse the curse of the charmed butt?
How would you?
What that is. I don't know. I have no idea. Survive past the second boot in the jury, second jury spot. I don't know.
Yeah, save your butt at one tribal council and it'll be properly
yes!
reversed.
Oh, that's what it is. No. That's going to be advantage on the next season. This is Libby's charm butt. It could save your butt with its charm.
Could you imagine if you walk up to Jeff Probst and you just hand him an ass? Like a completely separated ass. Not even like the stick was a little suspect. And Jeff would say, this is not just a butt. This is an advantage.
yeah, that'll go over well. Man, if the casuals didn't like the word dick, they're really going to have problems with a little bare butt.
Yeah, and then I can't wait for season 40 when Dick Butt comes alive. It's like the super idol. You combine the Bradley Dick idol with the Lily's charmed butt.
Bradley Charles Dickworth idol. Oh my god, that's oh man, by season I don't know, whatever, 50 something, it's just gonna be memes. It'll be like, this is Pepe.
Oh no. Speaking of the GOP,
yeah. Oh, god.
This is Success Kid.
This is Bad Luck Brian.
Well, I like this though, because instead of, because you know, the Amazing Race did that YouTube or the Social Media Stars edition, yeah. It'll be like Survivor 45 meme edition, where it's just the people like the Chocolate Rain guy, here's Star
Salt
Wars
Bay.
Kid, David After Dentist.
The double rainbow guy.
Oh yeah, and you know what? Yodeling Kid's gonna come in as from Redemption Island. He's like the most recent one. He's like the Michael Yerger of the group. He's the youngest.
I think that's good. Oh man. Uh-oh. All right, good. Well, send that one to Fiji.
All right, we'll send that wrapped in a nicely charmed butt. So I also had Libby making the jury.
Did you finish your prediction?
I believe that there was a period at the end of my sentence. Yes. Okay. So that very might good. Give me a slight advantage. let me see what I wrote here. Though not the strongest in challenges, larger things at hand on Malolo will keep Libby in the game. She benefits immensely from the switch when she's set up to be the next to go and ends up making the merge as a result. Once there, now knowing she's officially on the ropes, she attempts to make good with her proposed Ken and Barbie alliance and flirt with Chris. He decides to play ball, especially considering Chelsea's absence in the game. Why did I ship Chris and Chelsea? This is the worst matchmaking ever.
I love it.
But her ability to bring him in so quickly shows everyone how convincing the former hypnotist assistant can be, sending her out soon after him. So... Jess, between those two,
yeah, Mike,
who had the more accurate prediction about the Libster?
Well, Mike, I got to give you some props for expressing a complete thought, but...
Oh, no.
I think in terms of sheer accuracy, there's... I have been following your convoluted fan fiction that you've been writing all season, where you decide who's got the idol and who's in a showmance, but... I think Liana actually has this one in terms of sheer accuracy.
Oh my God. Yes! She doesn't even finish a sentence and she still wins this.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, I really know Libby as someone who has embodied Libby. I feel like this makes sense.
It definitely does. Yep. And kudos on your dramatic reading, by the way.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Michael and I slept together, but well, I'm sorry. Wait, what? Libby, did you just say that? It's like, I have to read this. Uh-oh. All right. Well, congratulations, me.
Yes. That's you really had a great time, but...
Exactly.
Now I'm really, this joke is really going to like screw with people's podcast feeds because it'd be like, wait, like did my app end?
Ah, oh, crap. Did I pause it by accident? Oh, no. No, they're just doing a bit. A really, really bad bit.
As is appropriate on the BNB.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, let's move on to our three questions every week we do on the BNB here. Jess, as the guest, you have first question out for discussion. What did you bring in for us?
Well, I had something, but I think we just stumbled upon something better.
Ooh, okay.
But
I think we got to bring in, we got to think about Survivor Meme Island.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
We've got to put this all together. And I think we've got a good start now. I think we definitely have an immunity idol that's shaped like dick butt.
Okay.
And I think all of the castaways will be people from various memes.
Okay.
We got I see the good guy Greg Alliance going very far and.
Okay.
And then we need to come up with an advantage. We should each come up with an advantage embodying the meme.
Ooh, embodying the like separate memes, right? So the people who are competing are the people who are from the meme. So we've got like the kid that's doing the like fist bump or whatever. Bad luck, Brian. Good guy, Greg. Who's the guy who looks stoned? Him, whoever he is,
Sebastian.
That guy. The overly attached girlfriend. She's got to be there.
Yep.
Right.
All right.
First world problems, girl.
Okay.
All right. How about here's something I have. All right. So let's bring in the Kermit drinking Lipton tea meme. None of my business. But the advantage is you get to, in true Michaela Bradshaw fashion, bring one prop with you to tribal councils to use however you want for dramatic effect.
Ooh, okay. Okay, I like that. What about that like SpongeBob one where it's like the caps and like you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I don't know what that would be.
You must write all of your votes in the mixed up caps.
Oh yeah, I like that. Yeah. Jess, how would you feel? You are the biggest Rick Astley fan I know. How would you feel about some sort of Rick Roll like advantage being incorporated into Survivor Meme Island?
I think there should be a Rickroll challenge. Like, I think, you know how when you finish the challenge, it raises your tribe flag? I think in one challenge, when you finish the challenge, it starts Rickrolling you.
So does that mean you win or you lose?
I think every time you get Rickrolled, it is a win.
Everyone wins.
No, I think what they should do is, you know, in these individual challenges, when they like have to solve the puzzle and like or guess the words and go over to Jeff, I think if they get it wrong, they should get Rickrolled.
Oh, okay, I was thinking that. Or can you imagine if they're like, "Oh, you found an idol, blah blah blah," and then you go up to play your idol, and Jeff Probst goes, "I'm sorry, but this is not a hidden immunity idol," and then he just plays that video, you know, for them, like you just got Rickrolled, even though they had an idol.
Or better yet, you find an idol and you start reading the, you know, this is a hidden immunity idol, and it confers the following powers. We're no strangers to love. You know the rules, and so do I. And then they read it out loud all the way to the end. It's just lyrics to "Never Gonna Give You Up."
Oh, god damn it. Okay, you could also do something with thanks, Obama. So, you know, Jeff Kent's out there. He's like, thanks, Obama.
What would the advantage be? Like, to reverse the curse, you have to sincerely thank Barack Obama for something, that for getting voted out?
Yeah, right, exactly. Or get somebody to say thanks, Obama, and then you get an advantage, sort of like a, one of those Big Brother challenges.
Or if you win the whole game, if you have the thanks, Obama advantage, they'll pay your taxes for you. On the other hand, past experience with the show has taught me that if CBS says they're going to pick up the tab for your taxes, you should probably not believe them.
Definitely not.
Pay your taxes.
What about could there be like a Charlie Bit Me advantage where like you can take a bite of, I wouldn't say someone because I don't want to encourage that sort of violence.
Take a bite of their reward challenge. Well,
you can go to the Tiki Taco Bar. You get one bite of the reward.
Or like you don't have to do the gross food eating challenge. You automatically like make it to the end or something like that. What about something with Cash Me Outside Girl? I feel like I know she's sort of passed in her time, but I feel like she's pretty iconic for the few months she was, you know, relevant.
Well, we've just been referencing like 25 10-year-old memes. So I think it's okay to bring in Cash Me Outside Girl. If anything, she's more relevant.
I think if anything, this is just an indictment on our meme knowledge that everything is about 5 to 10 years old.
We need to bring in something about like maybe the gross food eating challenges, Tide Pods.
Yeah, Tide Pod challenge. Oh, man. Now I'm just thinking of old memes like the end of the world or Badger, 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 Badger. Oh, man, I got some meme rabbit holes to go down later.
Well, what about... Okay.
I like this idea.
Oh, yeah, so what about, like, the... I'm thinking about the four images. This is tough to describe. Like, the four images of the brain. Like, first it's the brain in the head, then the brain gets bigger. So, like, what if it's sort of like what happened with Chris's thing, where, you know, you risk it, and each and every time you do, the brain gets bigger and the idol gets more powerful until it becomes, like, a Tyler Perry idol by the end of it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you just, like, keep risking it, and then... risking it for the bisque in it. That's about all the memes I know. So
that's a lot of memes. That's pretty good.
I think we did pretty good. Yeah, we'll workshop this, but I think this is a great idea.
Yeah,
I imagine we're going to get a lot of feedback about this.
Hopefully nobody's feeling as salty as Salt Bae, who will probably be another contestant out there on Survivor Meme Island.
Sprinkle it on there. Yeah. Fortnite's a thing. Is that a meme yet? I don't know.
I want somebody to Brant Steele up Meme Island for us.
Yes. Oh, that's such a good idea. Okay, somebody do that, please, with the memes that we've discussed, because I really want to know what meme wins.
Yes, and let us know the result of which meme will reign supreme or supreme meme. So let's move on here to our next game. We're moving back to the actual Survivor outside of the memes and into reality. But I want to stay on the Libby train for this first game. So we talked about this a little bit, actually, when we were doing the premiere party stuff with Taryn, that Libby likes to do a lot of shout out to brands. And upon further examination of her social media, I mean, girl is pretty prolific. I know we talked about how Stephanie Johnson preseason was like going to be the Debbie, the woman of a million jobs. But it honestly seems like Libby is doing a million things and traveling all around the world to the point where, as Liana mentioned before, she ended up missing her exit interview live, and Liana got to do that great dramatic reading. So I have a game for the two of you that I call Libstagram, and here's how it works. I have dug through Libby's Instagram posts since the season started, and I'm going to ask you some questions about the various things she's done and posted over the course of the past 9 weeks, and we're going to see how many you get right. Jess, going in, how confident are you feeling about this?
I do not look at Instagram very much. Like, I'm one of those terrible people who post something every week or so, but I almost never look at my feed, and I don't even think I follow Libby in the first place. So I'm going to say like -3.
I'm feeling pretty good. As somebody who is Libby, I feel like I should know the answers to these questions better than I knew my dank memes. So I'm feeling good.
Which is definitely saying a lot. So I'll ask you each 3 questions and we'll see who gets more of them right by the end. And Jess, let's start with you here. I'm going to go in reverse chronological order with some of these posts. So Libby, about a week or so ago, posted a picture from the beach advertising something called the Pearl Passion Ageless Mask by Naked Soul Beauty. And she goes into this whole thing about how, you know, how if her skin feels so clear and smooth and radiant after doing this. She says it's her mermaid self is relaxed, renewed, and loving her skin. When she talks about this Pearl Passion Ageless Mask, she lists 3 ingredients that are part of, or four ingredients, I should say, that are part of said mask. I'm going to read four ingredients out. You're going to tell me which one of them is not in the Pearl Passion Ageless mask.
Okay, well, I know my cosmetics, so this might be all okay. Right.
I've heard of a pearl necklace, but not a pearl mask.
Oh, boy.
I don't think you want that on your face. Mm. Or maybe you do. I'm not judging. You.
I mean, I don't know. Could nutrients. Be. Comes from your body. All right, so which of these ingredients is not featured in the Pearl Passion Ageless mask? A, wild orchid extract. B, passion flower. C, mud from a volcano. D, sea kelp. So one of those ingredients, on only one, the other three are in that ageless mask. What are you thinking, Jess?
I'm thinking it's got to be one of the two botanical ingredients. I guess you named three, but I think it's one of the flowers. And I'm going to go ahead and say the passion flower one sounds made up.
That is incorrect, unfortunately. Volcano mud in the Pearl Passion Ageless mask. They did not chill out to grab mud from the nearest volcano.
Hmm.
I feel like every mask has volcano mud in it.
What is volcano mud?
It's mud from a volcano.
Like just mud that's around a volcano?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, most volcanoes are not, you know, active. They're not spewing lava. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to put lava on your face.
That would probably really exfoliate the top layers and the bottom layers.
E-magma, I decided not to put in there. I feel like that would probably be pretty
which
obvious.
Which brings to mind... This is my favorite line that Jeff Probst has ever said.
Oh, yes.
If you drink lava, you will die.
Yes, I'm trying to remember. So that was from Vanuatu. I think it was the quiz, yes. Right? And it was like true or false. Mm-hmm. Like the Vanuatu natives drink lava to cleanse their souls.
Yeah. Yep.
That's great.
Yes. We found out now what is in the Pearl Passion Ageless mask, not to be confused with the Mother of Pearl Passion Ageless mask, which I'm pretty sure Angela would rather smear on her face than shovel down her throat at that point. But unfortunately, Jess, you did not get that one right. Let's move over to Liana. Libby was recently given the role of Great American Sweetheart in her home state of Texas. With that role, she was doing some interviews backstage at a certain sporting event on April 8th. Which one of these events did she participate in? A, NASCAR Trackside Live. B, 2018 CBR World Finals, which I believe is a barrel riding. C, Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame Induction Ceremony. D, the Great American / USDF Regional Dressage Championships.
Let's see. Well, okay, can't be barrel racing because that would be Sierra Don Thomas, obviously. Okay, so the first one was NASCAR, and the last three were all rodeo esque. Mm-hmm. Oh God, where's she from? She's from Texas, right? Mm. Oh man. Okay. Well. What was the third one?
Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame Induction Ceremony.
I feel like that's a place where you would need to do interviews. So yeah, okay, that one. Three.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. She spoke at NASCAR Trackside Live.
Oh well, yeah. I knew that. I was just, you know, fair playing field. Obviously.
Obviously. Thank you, Liana, for handicapping your performance in this game to make things even.
Totally did that on purpose.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. was Connor Daly at the NASCAR Trackside Live?
I have no idea. Well, he's not up to NASCAR yet. I think he's still just finished. He just started getting back into IndyCar. So one step at a time, though. If Phil Kogan would probably follow him to the end of the earth to berate him while he was racing on the track.
Yeah.
And I would follow Phil Kogan berating him.
Oh, man, that would be so good. I loved that dynamic on The Amazing Race this past season. Oh, where do I get that? I want that.
And P.S., totally forgot to mention this, but Jess, I'm going to give you congratulations by proxy for The Amazing Race's recent renewal, Survivor as well. Makes me want to sing, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, ba-ba, in celebration.
Well, I will take those congratulations because, as you know, it's all down to our coverage.
Yes, exactly.
I'm pretty well. So, I mean, come on.
Congratulations to you, too.
You guys are keeping The Amazing Race afloat. Meanwhile, Kurt Clark is killing any show that I want to talk about.
Well, that's why Kurt Clark is not allowed on our show.
Oh, that's smart.
You got to cut the baggage. You and Kurt are a power couple. You got to pull a Michael and accidentally idle him out of the game.
I just need that effing stick.
All right. So we are a nil all as we move into question three, going back to you, Jess. On April 7th, Libby posted a teaser video for a photo shoot she did for Rise Clothing Company. What did this photo shoot depict her doing? A, wandering around a wet woods. B, running down a mosquito-covered dirt road. C, striding mightily down a set of train tracks. D, stretching determinedly to the heavens on a yoga ball in a grassy field.
Oh, boy.
These are nice descriptions.
Yeah, I appreciate the work that went into them, so I guess good job, head writer Paul.
Why the wood gotta be wet? Sorry.
Is someone called Butch?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, that would have prevented everything from catching on fire if only they had taken a page out of the photographer's book.
Well, I mean, they were in the rainforest. They probably felt they were pretty safe by name only.
Oh. All right, so we got wet woods, mosquitoes, train tracks, and yoga ball. Well, I feel like I don't think it's mosquitoes. And I feel like I could learn something from Liana's last question, where three of the things were related and the fourth one was not related and the fourth one was correct. So I feel like we've got three outdoors and one indoors. But Rise Clothing Company sounds kind of hippy-dippy, so it could very well be yoga clothing. I guess I'm going to go, it's between train tracks and yoga ball, and I'm going to go with yoga ball.
I'm sorry, your first impulse was incorrect. The correct answer was running down a mosquito-covered dirt road.
What?
Yeah, it's a...
Gross.
So the behind-the-scenes footage was like, so she's running down this, like, abandoned dirt road with, like, these Beats headphones on and running gear, and the DP's like, I mean, the mosquitoes don't make this an ideal environment, but I guess we'll go with it.
Okay, so it wasn't just a colorful description. There were, like, legit mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Okay, see, I was picturing, like, a Dr. Mike in the Hornet's Nest situation, and I'm like, how is that selling anything?
If you buy these clothes, mosquitoes will be unconventionally attracted to you at all times.
That's in her pearl mask that she's selling, also.
Yeah, mosquito eggs.
Some mosquito attractant, yeah.
It's got a passion flower and kelp extract and citronella.
Yes, that's the main ingredient on the Pearl Passion Ageless Mask.
Citronella.
All right, Liana, let's move on to you. On April Fool's Day, Libby tried to pull off her own tricky post. What did she say to attempt to dupe her followers? A, so not excited for Survivor this week. B, I'm giving up on meat forever. C, Monday cannot come soon enough. D, Merry Christmas.
What?
So just to be clear, Libby did say one of these things in an attempt to make an April Fool's joke.
Oh, they're supposed to be April Fool's Day jokes.
Yes. So imagine that any of these lines with April Fool's written after it.
Okay, can you read them again, please?
Sure. So not excited for Survivor this week. I'm giving up on meat forever. Monday cannot come soon enough. Merry Christmas.
Okay, it's not Monday cannot come soon enough, because I feel like that's the thing that... Then why would you say April Fools? Okay, it's not that one. I'm giving up on meat forever. I don't know. Did she try to hawk a product while she was saying that? Okay, I'm going to get rid of that one. And then the first one was, I'm so not excited for Survivor.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What do I think Libby's... Okay, let me take a moment. Let me just tap into Libby, okay, for a second. I embody Libby.
We're going to watch, like, a possession happen.
just get the holy water out, all right, just in case. All right, so if I was Libby, what would I think is funny? Oh, my goodness. Okay, you know what? Okay, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it's the Merry Christmas one.
That is correct.
Yes.
What?
Yes. Because it's so stupid. I feel like Libby would think it's fun. Sorry, Libby. I love you. Love you, Bay.
Yeah, it's a picture of her like sitting among like cherry blossoms in a clearly springtime setting. What? And it just says, Merry Christmas, April Fools.
Oh, okay. Well, I would have gotten it wrong there because I pictured she was like in a Santa Claus outfit or something. And then she said, Merry Christmas. I don't know. I got to channel Libby more.
I mean, you got it right. So your channeling was correct.
Nice.
I do enjoy this like peek into the method acting that it takes to do the dramatic Libby reading.
Yeah, it was a long 5 minutes of preparation before Rob and I jumped on and did that.
Yeah,
but, you know, the method acting is key.
Liana Day Lewis.
You're doing the Lord's work.
That's right. Yeah, I'm just waiting for my Oscar.
All right, well, let's move on here. Liana is up 1-0 as we move into the final question for each of you. Going back to Jess here. On March 26th, Libby posted a nice picture of herself and Michael hanging out on the beach. In the post, she decides to just write a random factoid in there, a la like a Snapple fact. Which fact did Libby write in her Instagram post? A. Mangoes can get sunburned. B. Every day, around 18 acres of pizza are eaten in America. C. On average, a human being will spend up to 2 weeks kissing in his or her lifetime. D. Brainwaves can be used to power an electric train. Liana, I have no idea if any of these are scientifically accurate, but three...
These sound dubious.
The last one, definitely not.
Not to be confused with Sebastian's dubious day on 420.
Gaggerific, bro. Well, are these, just out of curiosity, Mike, the ones that you wrote, are they real?
The
facts are real?
Three of these are actual Snapple facts I took from the Snapple website.
Okay, yeah.
One of them is something that Libby put in her own post with Michael hanging out on the beach. What are you thinking, Jess?
Well, I'm trying to think because I think the one about mangoes is the most profoundly stupid. But I also don't know what that could possibly have to do with a random couple-y photo of them on the beach. So I'm inclined to say it's the one about kissing because they're probably kissing in the photo. I don't know. I'm going to get shut out on this one. So I'm going to go ahead and say the one about kissing.
Wait. Before you read your answer. Okay, here. This is what I'm thinking. If she really went with the Christmas thing, I think it's going to be a non sequitur. So it's going to be something weird. So I think it's going to be one of the other ones.
So you want me to switch my answer to mangoes?
I don't know if it's a mango one, but I don't think it's a kissing one.
Okay. All right. I will switch my answer then, and it's your fault if I lose this and don't get any of whatever prize I would have gotten. Like, is there a...
You get a hat. Or booty shorts.
Yeah,
the
B&B booty shorts. Or you get a mango if you want to, though it's been out in the sun for a little bit, just so you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I hear those can get sunburned. I don't know if I want that.
I don't know where I heard that, but I think that's true.
All right. All right, mangoes. Final answer.
Unfortunately, you were both incorrect. Libby wrote, every day around 18 acres of pizza are eaten in America.
Are they eating pizza in the photo? What?
I told you, just some weird non sequitur.
I don't understand social media.
That's what makes this game fun, is that it makes no sense.
She has like 900,000 followers, doesn't she, too?
Probably.
Now they know that 18 acres of pizza are eaten in America. I don't know what portion of that is purely from Josh Wiggler's personal diet, but interesting fun fact. I don't know if that's exactly true, but the idea of a whole farmland of pizza is a nice image to me, Liana.
I didn't realize that mangoes could get sunburned. I'm actually more interested in that. I had a battle with a mango this morning, which I talked about on my morning update with Taryn. It was a little bit of a struggle. So the fact that they can get sunburned, actually, you know, that's interesting to me.
Do we think John Cochran is part mango?
Ooh, yes. Part mango, part what else? Something really pale.
Part vampire.
Part vampire is really going to get sunburned and hates garlic. Because garlic doesn't go with mangoes, right? That's the thing.
Yeah, but that means he can't eat pizza.
Well, he's not going to be one of the ones participating in eating the however many miles of pizza.
Yeah, he'll sit out of that one. He'll take the breadsticks. I mean, have we ever seen Cochran eat pizza? I feel like this theory has legs.
Oh,
we probably have. He's played the game twice, and there's got to be a pizza reward in there somewhere.
Do you think did Debbie have pizza when he was out there with Debbie?
Oh yeah, maybe they did. Maybe he put it under his tongue or something. Like he has like a mental patient who tried not to swallow his pills.
I'll spit it out later. This is a bizarre tangent. Okay, all right, Mike, I'm ready for my question.
I was gonna say, in a world where Survivor, where we put Survivor Meme Island on a podcast, this is by far the least weird road we're going down. But let's finish things off here. Liana, you already have a surefire victory, but let's see if you can go 2 for 3 here. Libby has posted many inspirational quotes over the course of her post. So this is not necessarily chronological, but of these 4 quotes, 3 of them are ones that Libby actually posted on her Instagram, and 1 is made up. You have to pick the one that is made up. So here we go.
All right.
A, and prepare everyone. We're going to get inspired here today to do whatever you please. A, we get caught up in the drive to acquire the material things in life, but when I was stripped of those things, I realized that we are everything. B,
Libby does nothing but push material things on her Instagram. Like, what? Okay, all right. Okay, sure.
B,
okay.
We are all the things we shill on Instagram.
B, life is about adventure. Saying no to adventure is like saying no to opportunities. God gives to you to explore life.
Okay.
C, please be hungry and foolish. Find yourself. Be who you potentially are and be true to your dreams and what you really want to do. If we all maximize that personal freedom, we will change the world. D, I just want to remind you, life is all about making mistakes and learning from them. That's how we grow. Forgive yourself for things you've done wrong, times you disappointed others, or whatever else you have done that for yourself down. I don't know what the last part means.
I think I'm guessing that last one is real.
She channeled you in not finishing her sentence there.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, we are very similar. Okay. The inspirational quotes, I think, are not my thing, I'm realizing. Actually, my dad, every year for Christmas, he gets us one of those demotivational calendars.
Nice.
I don't know if you've seen those. Yeah. So those are really good. Let's see. I'll read them later anyway. It's too far away. Okay, so I'm going to go with either 2 or 3, just because I think 1 is real and I think 4 is real. I know that she talked about religion in her preseason video, but the please be hungry one is kind of funny given that she was on Survivor.
Hungry for pizza?
Yeah, got to eat all those acres of pizza. All right, you know what? I'm going to go with 2. I think you're throwing it in there to trick me.
That is incorrect. You were on the right track. The correct answer was C. Actually, C is pulled from Nick Stanberry from Survivor Exile Island's famous last words.
That's what I thought. That sounded familiar.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, I don't know Libby clearly as well as I thought.
Well, congratulations. You're able to at least channel Libby for 1 April Fool's question to get it right. So you have received your own Christmas gift in the form of a win here. Though I think we've all won in that we've learned that apparently every day around 18 acres of pizza are eaten in America. And we found out a little bit more about Libby's social media persona, which was interesting for me to research, to be quite honest. Didn't think I would be doing that, but the B&B opens up so many possibilities in my life.
Yeah, this was interesting. She's interesting, to say the least.
And I feel so motivated after that last question. It's so cathartic to hear all those motivational
yeah,
words.
Remember, don't remember the times you disappointed others or whatever else you have done that for yourself down.
That's right. Well, life is about adventure. Okay. All right. Well, that was bizarre. Okay. So, I actually want to get back and talk a little bit more about the episode because when I was watching this episode and then upon rewatching, I just couldn't stop thinking about Angela's gameplay and whether or not I thought it was good or not. So I just want to throw out the idea of like, what do you guys think about what Angela is doing where it's like throwing Chris under or talking to Michael and then, you know, taking what it is that Michael's saying, flipping it around to everybody else, throwing him essentially to the wolves for Navidi. Like, what do you guys think sort of about that situation, Jessica? Like, do you think that this is good or do you think that she's just sort of exploding now that Chris is gone?
I think she's pretty much painted herself into a corner. And I think she's just at this point, it's like, what else can you do? These are Hail Mary passes that are coming out of Angela. And it's like, maybe one of them will work. And it turns out this week, she ends up winning immunity and maybe one of the most dominant immunity challenge performances we've ever seen. And so she's okay for another week, but I think she can't do that wild stuff all the time. Like, it might work maybe one more time. She might find an inn. It's very unlikely. I think at this point, it's kind of like maybe someone else will make another person angry enough that they vote them out before her. But she's got to be pretty close to next on the chopping block.
Well, let's put ourselves in Angela's head here, though, because she was left out of that Chris vote. So she has to be thinking, okay, I've sort of been shackled up to this big guy that nobody wanted around. Now I need to get in as soon as I can. And so I partly feel like her sort of snitching on Michael to the Navides was sort of a way to, you know, throw him under the bus and give herself another few days out there. I do feel like this was a real coming out party for Angela. You know, it's like, you know, she is, I mean, in her life, you know, she got divorced and now she's able to sort of like live her life as a free woman. And it sort of happened here too, where, you know, this man that she had associated herself with, who, like, you know, didn't let her get a word in edgewise, is now gone. And she keeps talking about how I can finally be the person that I've wanted to be. So I'm happy to see this form of Angela. And to the point of her, you know, going back to the Navides instead of, you know, hopping on board with the Malolos. Maybe this is me dialing into her too much psychologically speaking, but I remember back in the first swap, or the second swap, when, you know, Angela is talking about how, you know, when she left the army, she lost a certain support group there. When she got divorced, she lost some friends there. So I feel like Angela sort of has this mentality she's kind of brought in from her previous life of, you know, if there is, I need to get in with a group of people, because she sort of comes from this world where her group has essentially left her by herself. So she's almost kind of seeking that sense of community. So I think when she found it with the Navides, she is dialed into it 100%. So while, you know, Michael may try to make her entertain the idea of, oh, let's stick with the Malolos, I see her having no intention on flipping on the Navides anytime soon, just because to her, they're pretty much her family.
Yeah, well, P.S., that's dumb, because all she knows is all of these people left her out of really crucial votes. And if she joins up with them to knock out a few people that are also on the outs, who does she have? Like, where is she going to go? She's still on the bottom of that. I think she would have had a better time maybe trying to make something big happen. And then she's got that on her resume, and she might potentially be on the top of something instead of on the bottom of something, or at least closer to the top of something.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I think from the external perspective, like, I just see this really chaotic gameplay of running around telling everybody everything, or at least maybe that's just sort of how I'm interpreting it. But then, Mike, from your perspective of saying, okay, let's get inside Angela's head, which, you know, I don't know how it is, but I think that if she is thinking, like, I just need to find a group of people, so I'm just going to sort of give this information to, you know, different members of Navidi and sort of see who latches on to me. But yeah, I think it's really short-sighted, strategy-wise, at least.
I want to go...
Yeah, this is the equivalent of taking 10 people down to the well.
Well, yeah. Just taking ideas from Chris. I do want to go back to your point, Jess, about, you know, if we think that she gave the most dominant performance in her new challenge. I don't know if I'd say dominant, but I might say entertaining, because her dance moves were like a combination of hip hop and like grandma at a wedding. I was thoroughly entertained by Angela the entire time of her trying to work her way through that eating challenge.
I don't know.
Well, every time she finished something, she was like doing these like, you know, I am the greatest triumphant, like Icky Woods style sports victory dances. It was great.
And that tongue action, too. It's giving Sebastian a run for his money. I thought it was pretty dominant. I mean, just rewatching it, she just, I mean, oh my goodness, Angela was on fire.
Well, the only qualm that I have with that is that, you know, I think that stuff like her swallowing a sea slug whole, 100%. But I mean, she did not finish first in any of them until the last round. All right, she finished first in her section in the first round. But I mean, I feel like Michael was actually doing a pretty darn good job until the Mother of Pearl. And then ironically enough, it was the mother who crushed it. But my eyes were drawn to Angela no matter what in the course of that challenge. And it seemed like social media's eyes were drawn there, too.
Yeah, well, the tongue wagging really just sort of, you can't help but look.
Yeah, it's very cringe.
You know, like, if she's a super fan of Survivor, you know she spent some time at home practicing gross food and practicing the tongue victory dance.
Do we think that, speaking of possession, as you were possessed by Libby before, do we think Angela was possessed by our great friend Krampus, and that's what the tongue waggling symbolized?
I can see it. She has a very pointed tongue, too, so it sort of, like, fits with the whole Krampus thing.
Orchid tongue.
Literally.
She was kind of like, Merry Christmas, April Fools.
I think if April Fools next year, I think I'm just going to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
It's really the simplest way to go. Like, let's start on that Libby level. And then, you know, I'd rather have that than, like, actually harming people or making major announcements that make people, like, falsely congratulate me on things.
Well, because I think there's so many bad ways you can go with pranks. You know, somebody gets hurt, somebody gets mad, somebody gets upset. You know, who's going to be mad at wishing you a Merry Christmas? Like, I thought it was actually Christmas.
No, people, they're going to get mad. Like, don't you mean happy holidays?
Why is your cup have a snowman on it or whatever people got mad about with Starbucks?
Yeah. Why the cups aren't even red nowadays. Now they have like flowers on them like it's some sort of spring holiday. I don't get what's going on with Christmas this year.
It's a war on Christmas. They put flowers on the cups this year. God, don't even get to hear Christmas music in April. Yeah, what is this? Okay. All right. Okay. So speaking of challenges and challenge performances, every single episode, I feel like this season, and this is true for most seasons, but there's some lines that Jeff Probst says that just sound like sexual innuendos. And every week I write some of these down and I think, God, it'd be really fun to do a game. This week, just put it over the top. I have actually gone back and I have collected 78 lines that have been said in the challenges this season that I think really could be a lot of fun. So what we're going to do is we're going to do some Jeff Probst Mad Libs sexual innuendo style. So you guys aren't going to be actually coming up with the lines. These are lines from Jeff Probst. You're just going to be picking numbers. And we're going to see how this goes. So sort of organize these in categories where I think this is going to work out, but who knows? So what we're going to do is we're going to actually do descriptions of challenges. So these are team challenges. And Mike, we'll start with you. If you could give me, describe the potential challenge. So what is it that they're doing? Is this for reward or is this for immunity? And then which tribe from the season, Malolo or Navidi, wins? So those are the three things that I need first.
Okay. So type of challenge. Let's say it is one of those challenges where they learned a story. They heard a story about ancient Fiji. Not to be, affiliated with the actual stories that are going on Ghost Island. Mm-hmm. And they had to run around answering questions in the hopes of winning a reward, which is a story time session at a local library. And we'll say that Navidi, true to their name, wins it.
Okay, perfect. So then now this is really going to play well on the podcast. Wait, you said Navidi wins?
Yes.
Well, okay. All right. So I'm going to need you to pick a number between 1 and 6.
Oh, boy. This is very Survivor Borneo Final Tribal Council. I'll go with 4.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this is really going to go well. Now I need 8 numbers between 1 and 35.
Oh my God. Okay.
I know this is complicated.
All right. Give me, I guess I'll go in sequential order. Give me 1, 7, 12, 15. Let's go 21. Lucky blackjack. Let's go 22. Okay. Right afterwards, was that 5?
Let's see. You've given me 6.
6? Okay. Then give me 20.
So I need 2 more.
27 and 32.
32. Okay. All right. Now I need 3 numbers between 1 and 17.
Oh, my God.
I promise this is going to be worth it. I promise, I think.
All right.
I don't know.
Give me 8.
Okay.
Give me 10 and give me 15.
Okay. And then I need 2 numbers between 1 and 8.
Oh my God.
We're almost done. Numbers I promise. I promise. We're almost done.
I feel like you're like testing if I'm a robot or something. Like this is we're in Westworld right now. When you're like,
Are you using Mike to fill in CAPTCHAs so you can spam websites?
That's what I'm doing. I just want to make Mike feel valued. This is a job I could do with a random number generator, but you know, he just. Make him feel good. That's what you got
to
do.
Thank you. I will not. I lose games to people who don't finish their sentences. This is the least I can do. All right. Give me 2 and 5.
Okay. 2 and 5. All right. So I need a number between 1 and 7. I promise we're almost done. Just 2 more.
6.
Number between 1 and 7. 6. Okay. And then number between 1 and 3.
I'll go with 1.
Okay. All right. So this is the description of the story trivia challenge from Survivor Ghost Island. The castaways take their spots for the reward challenge where they could win a story time session at the local library. Propes kicks things off and yells, "First tribe to pop all 3 flags wins reward." And already Sebastian launches high and very deep as there goes Wendell.
So wait, I'm assuming that Sebastian has launched Wendell now into the air.
I assume so. Meanwhile, Jeff Probst yells, "Somebody's got to get on top."
Oh, geez.
And meanwhile, Donathan tossing that rope. But Donathan clearly wants no part of this, and now he's forced to, because you've got to get somebody up.
Oh,
Chris, my God. Chris screams, "Pull harder, pull harder." But in response, Donathan goes up as Michael struggles to stay up. In retaliation, Jeff Probst yells from the sidelines, "Show me an empty mouth." While Dominic shoves it in, and Angela still got a handful, but she's got a bit of a lead on Michael. Steve asks, barks at his tribe mates, "That was gaggerific, bro." But it was too late. Chelsea bangs into the post and Navidi wins reward. Probe sends the castaways back to camp saying, "That is a Survivor ride right there."
So just so we're clear, This is the only challenge where they ask trivia questions, I'm assuming while conducting a giant orgy.
I think so. I don't know. I don't know. There were no questions. I don't know. Everybody's tossing rope and launching and struggling. Yeah,
what do you think the rope is involved? Do you think like somebody's going to be harnessed up? Do we think that there's some sort of like S&M element involved?
I guess so. This would be the most interesting trivia challenge yet.
I just love this idea of like, for some reason, I imagine this like pile of bodies and Sebastian tossing Wendell on top.
Yeah, launches. There goes Wendell. That's what Sebastian launches high and very deep, and there goes Wendell. Like, he put Wendell on a catapult and just launched him. Oh, maybe that's what he... Okay, so it's one of the ones where you get the questions, and you have to run out into the... swim out of the water, run out of the jungle, and then Sebastian had the great idea to just launch Wendell out there and be like, "Go get it, bro."
Or it could be like, if you get a question right, you get to launch one of your opponents into the orgy.
Oh, man. Oh, goodness. Yeah. All right. So some of these worked, some of these not so much.
This also felt like the dirtiest Survivor fan fiction I've ever read.
Yeah, well,
you're clearly not reading enough fan fiction, Mike.
Yeah, get out there on the internet, Mike. Learn more about memes and Survivor fan fiction.
If you pick a number 1 to 35, I'll pick 34 several times.
Yeah.
We gotta pick 69, really? Okay. Okay, let's try this again. Let's see if we can make a little bit more sense. So, Jessica, I'm gonna ask for the same thing. So describe the challenge. What challenge are they doing? Okay. Is it for reward or immunity, and who wins?
All right. Well, this is another reward challenge.
Okay.
And they're going to be divided up into 2 teams.
Okay.
And each team has to send someone out. They swim out and they grab a sack of balls.
Okay. Yep.
And they bring their ball sacks back to the beach.
Okay.
And then they open up, when they got all the ball sacks, they open up the ball sacks, and there are balls that they have to put through the table maze.
Okay.
And then when the table maze, when they complete the table maze and they've sent all of their balls through the table maze, they run a reward feast.
Mm.
And the reward feast is all the fixings. You got a cheese ball.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Sicilian rice balls.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a side of melon balls.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the Orangina bottles that are shaped like balls.
Okay. All right, let's. All right, I might need to do a little improvising to get all of this in. Okay, and then who is it that?
That's what she said.
Yes. All right, and then who is it that wins?
I think the team. I don't know how many people are on the team at this point. But,
doesn't matter.
All right, we'll say the team that's got Angela and Michael and Wendell and Donathan. They win that reward.
Okay. All right. This might make no sense, but we are going to go forward with it. Okay. So now I don't know if you could guess this, but I'm going to need a bunch of numbers.
Oh, boy.
I know. I'm just killing it. Okay. So I need a number between 1 and 6.
5.
Okay. I need 8 numbers between 1 and 35. I've deleted the ones that Mike has used, so, well, I'll figure it out.
Could you imagine if this is a final tribal council? Right, well, I mean, I know we have the new tribal council format that Jeff was shilling out, but could you imagine being like, all right, you know, like what they did in Survivor Cambodia, like last time Greg asked me to choose from a scale of 1 to 7. Now, I need you to choose 8 numbers between 1 and 35. Whoever comes closest wins.
That makes sense. Oh, God. All right.
Okay. So, well, I think the easiest string of numbers that I could throw out at this point is 4, 8, 15, 16, 23.
Ooh, okay. All right. 4, 8,
15, 16.
Okay. 23.
And that's 5. I need 3 more.
Yeah.
32. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was going to say,
oh, Mike, you have one?
24 is 42 backwards.
Oh, okay, 24.
Okay.
Just to be clear, that's a loss reference. I just randomly mentioned that certain numbers are other numbers backwards.
Oh, wow, that's good, Mike. This is the palindrome segment on the RHAP B&B where Mike tells us what palindromes are. Okay, now...
Wait, what's a palindrome?
I don't know, can you say that backwards? All right, now I need 3 numbers between 1 and 17.
15, 13, and 2.
15 and 2. Okay, now I need 2 numbers between 1 and 8.
5 and 7.
Okay, I need 1 number between 1 and 7.
3.
Okay, and... then I need a number between 1 and 3.
2.
Okay. So, here is the bring the ball sack, open the ball sack, run all the balls through the maze challenge reward where you can eat all the balls you want. So, the castaways take their spots for the balls challenge, and Probes kicks things off. Raise your poles above your head, he yells. And already, James beckoning Donathan as Chris goes down hard. It's getting very physical, Jeff Probst yells. Meanwhile, Libby tries to shove it down, and Wendell is now tying up Brendan.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, you have to take your time as it gets deeper. Donathan screams, cinnamon rolls! Cinnamon rolls! James quickly pops up, and in response, Wendell didn't even try. Jeff Probst yells from the sidelines, you can't do this with two guys. In retaliation to Probst's comment, Seabass gets Bradley up while Donathan amazes himself. Angela barks at her tribe mates, bring the D over. But it was too late. Chelsea's there, go Navidi. And Angela, Michael, Wendell, and Donathan win reward. Probe sends the castaways back to camp saying, wow, that was a lot of protein.
Oh. Well, I mean, good on that team for winning, except for Wendell. Surprisingly, for being the star in the reward challenge this episode, he proved to be the weak link in this challenge, considering that, what'd you say, he did nothing out there?
Yeah.
He got tied up.
Let's see.
No, I thought Brendan got tied up.
Brendan, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Brendan got tied
Wendell
up.
Wendell tied Brendan up, but Wendell didn't even try after James quickly popped up. So I don't know what that means. But Sebastian did get Bradley up, so... You know, Sebastian's working, working hard.
Okay,
out there.
So here's what I'm thinking, that maybe what this involves is, you know, the bags of balls are out on poles in the middle of the ocean, but guarding them are previously eliminated contestants. So that's where, like, James and Brendan,
ooh, Ghost
yeah,
Island.
James and Brendan and Bradley come in, and they're going to try to, like, defend their post. But you also have a rope that you can use to tie them up.
You have to. It's like Schmergen Brawl with bondage.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. I like this. I mean, you know, it does fit with the Ghost Island theme, having them come back. Okay. Well, Angela didn't swallow any balls, even though she was, you know, she's got a handful. Oh, there were so many stupid lines. Okay. Well, that was weird.
Yeah. I don't know how you got so many suggestive lines and none of them had balls in them.
Yeah, well, there weren't a lot of balls. There were, let's see, here's one. Brendan and Sebastian now tossing balls for Malolo. That one was a ball one. Let's see, any other ball comments? Yeah, that was only one, surprisingly. Not a lot of challenges with balls.
It's a little bit of a castrated season in that regard. I feel like we moved away from the balls. But we're moving into the individual phase, I feel like that may come back soon.
Yeah, and we still had the poll, so, you know, might not have the balls, but we got the poll. It's okay.
I demand more balls.
More balls.
Well, not on that note.
And on that note, oh, you know what? There were the reason this first popped into my head was the one where Chris was doing the baseball-ish challenge where he was like throwing
sandbags at the little like fan thing.
Yeah, the amazing display of an arm. That's the line that really got me thinking about this stuff.
I love it.
I can see that.
I mean, it wouldn't be a B&B if we didn't go full bloom at some point over the course of the season. So I feel like we've really satiated that amount. What a ride. What a ride.
Yeah, what a survivor ride. The other ending line I had was, steak is great.
I'm a meat collector.
Not to confuse with seafood entrepreneur. All right.
Exactly.
Well, I have a question. I have a sort of like a mini game involved in this question because this week, after Michael lost out to Angela in that immunity challenge that we mentioned before, he did go back, pulled a Jeremy Collins and ate the rest of the mother of the pearl. And he told Jeff that was because, you know, I might only play this game once. So, you know, I want to take a full advantage of it, which cued myriad Twitter posts about how like, lol, and Michael thinking he's only going to come back, only play Survivor once, because I think that, you know, he's definitely been impressing in at least some regard in this season. And it has sort of gotten the conversation going of who we would like to see back for another season from this cast, because there are a lot of options. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give each of us 5 points to divvy up between all Ghost Island castaways in terms of who you want to see come back. Now, here's the catch. So you could, you know, give 1 point to 5 people. Or you could stockpile points onto 1 or 2 people. Because let's pretend this is a universe where, like the Hunger Games, for instance, they're doing a random draw to determine the next Survivor cast. And the more ballots you have in there, the greater chance you have going on the show. So if you're really standing for somebody, you might want to give them more points instead of spreading things evenly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, are we voting for who we want to see come back, or are we trying to predict who we think is going to come back?
Let's put who we want. These are our points. So I feel like, you know, we should have a say. If you want to bounce a little bit of producer reality-based stuff in there as well, go ahead. But I feel like talking about who we want to see come back at this point would be a better exercise.
5 on Chelsea.
Okay.
All right, well,
I'm just kidding.
I was gonna say, well, Liana, aside from the 5 ghost votes for Chelsea, what are you thinking? Who might you put your 5 points on in terms of returnees?
Oh god, there's so many good people this season, and I feel like even a lot of the people that we're not getting content from, like, I don't know, Donathan or Seabass, you know, really have a lot to offer, let's say. Oh my goodness. Okay, well, I gotta start one off. I'm putting a point on Chris. I would love to see Chris back, mainly because I would really enjoy making, you know, it's funny. He's like the type of person, like his rap, like I want to laugh at him, but I also feel like I'm laughing with him.
Mm.
But mostly at him, but a little bit with him. So I'm going to start things off. I'm going to give a point to Chris Noble.
Okay. All right. Jesse, do you have a certain amount of points you want to divvy up to somebody? Is Chris in your short list?
Yeah, Chris was on my short list. I was like halfway to just giving him all the points.
Yeah, same.
Because I feel like he's a character type that we haven't seen one in a while. And at least like of the ones we've seen, he doesn't completely annoy me to death. Like he's like a coach, but he's more entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I can totally see that. And he always, so when going through and rewatching all of these challenges, he always has some like funny line in the background that it's not so overbearing. Sort of, I think what you're talking about, Jessica, it's like the right amount of entertainment.
Yeah, he doesn't. And this could be down to editing. Like perhaps if we were stranded on an island with him, we might feel differently. But he's got like just that good combination of slight lack of self-awareness with strange wealth of life experience that really makes for a good survivor character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'll put 2 points on Chris as well. I mean, I'm a little hesitant because, I mean, I feel like the issue is sometimes with bringing back these bigger characters. Like, I have expressed my love for Sebastian a number of times, but I don't know if seeing him back will, like, dull that experience a bit, like bringing back somebody like Big Tom or Keith Nail, where like they're hysterical the first time and the second time you're like, all right, they're kind of just doing the same thing. So I'm a little afraid of that, and I'm afraid of but I'm sort of afraid of the opposite thing for Chris, where like he'll swing too much in the other direction. But I don't know, I feel like what he told me in his exit interview with me, where he said, like, you know, he'll admit he sort of like purposely played some stuff up because he knew it would make for some entertaining stuff at home. I hope that would elicit more type of stuff in that regard from Chris, as opposed to him sort of taking another coach in season 23 angle of completely going in a different direction. So I'll put a couple of points on Chris as well. Liana, let's go back to you. You have 4 points left. Who's the next person you're going to give points to?
Oh, man. No, the comment that you made actually about, you know, having somebody like somebody was so good in their first season and they come back and ruin it. Because I was thinking like, oh, Sebastian, Donathan, these are people who I would want to see back. And now I'm sort of thinking like, oh, do I want them to come back? Yeah, you know, because I think they're going to be somebody else. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's totally your prerogative. I personally, and I know I have a very atypical opinion on returning player seasons. Like I like returning player seasons when the person who comes back is doing something almost completely different from the first time they played. Like I'm thinking about Ozzy, for example, his first time's out, where first time he's this fan favorite dolphin boy, you know, good guy. And the second time out, he turns into kind of a douche and he's hooking up with people and he's making fake immunity idols that get brought up in this episode. And he has people do things for him, you know, 20 seasons after the fact. So I like when people come back in that regard and they change up their characters as opposed to, you know, either maintaining or to your point, maybe sort of degrading the view we have of them.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I can see that. Okay. First of all, I'm going to put a second point on Chris Noble because I'm really feeling the noble one. But I am going to put a point, I think, on Donathan. Just one, because I need more Donathan in my life. I thought he was going to, you know, it's so funny because I feel like I thought Ghost Island was going to be, oh, too many idols. Donathan's going to be shoved in my face. I'm going to be so sick of the idols and so sick of Donathan. And now I'm like, more idols, please. More Ghost Island. More Donathan, please. Apparently, there's just no pleasing me as a Survivor fan. So I would like Donathan to see Bass. I would like to see him back. So I give Donathan a point.
Jess, you've got how many points did you end up giving to Chris? I forget.
I gave Chris right. 1 point.
So you got 4.
I just decided that right now.
So arbitrarily, you have 4 points left.
Arbitrarily, I have 4. I don't think I'm going to give any points to Donathan. I think if he goes deep in the game, I think he is very likely to be asked back. But I also think he's shown a surprising amount of game, like more than I thought that I would see out of him in this character type of the kind of sheltered yokel that comes on the show. I think you typically don't see a lot of game from them, and he's proven himself to have some really interesting strategic chops, but I also like, I want to see if he pulls off a big move, then I definitely want to see him come back again. But he really hasn't been shown to be moving the game forward himself all that much. Like, there are little ways in which he kind of moves the needle, but I want to see people that are making bigger moves.
So that being said, who would you put a point on, or more multiple points on?
Well, I'm going to put a point. I'm going to put points on somebody that I think is both very likely to be asked back and who has been very entertaining. And again, this is a character type that CBS loves, but it's also a character type that really comes out in front. I'm going to put 2 points on Dominic.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. What's your reasoning behind that?
My reasoning behind that is that he is playing a strong, visible, out there alpha game, which CBS loves those guys. And he's also, he's pretty entertaining in confessionals. He's snarky. He causes drama. And he's super sneaky. And I think all those things together make him into someone that could come back several times. And he could pull a Tony and be the first one out the next time he comes back. But I also think he's a little bit more level-headed than Tony. And I don't think he's going to come in guns blazing if he comes back.
So, okay, wait, so quick thing. So I don't necessarily think that I would put any points on Dominic, but the fact that you're talking about him being more level-headed, I swear to God, the lack of food is doing wonders for him. Cause I really think that, like, that's what it is. He's like, he's hungry. And so he's just like settled down. Like, he's got low energy.
That's so interesting because, you know, I think we asked last week, what is a Dominic edit going to look like without Chris? And from what we saw this episode, it was pretty low key. I mean, even he admitted, like, I came up with guns blazing last Tribal Council to make a point. I'm going to lie back. And as a result, you know, outside of him telling Libby, hey, don't worry. It's not you. Stop worrying. Uncle Dommy. That was the only thing that he basically did this episode. So to your point, Leon, I do wonder if maybe the lack of food has sort of slowed down his frenetic gameplay and his frenetic mindset. And at a time where everyone else is sort of increasing the kinetic energy around their game, Dominic's is actually decreasing, but it's actually working better for him.
Yeah, nah, you don't need to go back on Survivor.
I'm going to go back to the pre-merge for my next divvy of points, because I do feel like there was this thing going around that a lot of these pre-merge players, they'd be interested to see back. But I feel like, not to be confused with Seabass, but I think this is someone who I feel like a lot of people would universally like to see back. So I have 3 points left. I'm going to put 2 of them on Stephanie Johnson. I do really feel like Stephanie was swap screwed. I feel like she had a really interesting storyline and she had a really interesting head on her shoulders when it came to gameplay that I do honestly think that, you know, in a different environment, had she had more, a better road to run down that's not covered with mosquitoes, it might be a better picture for her.
Yeah, I would definitely throw a point at her. Like, I think I'm going to put one of my points on her as well. I think, though, like, personally, I wasn't the biggest fan of Stephanie, but I really want to see what she's capable of because I feel like we didn't see enough of her. And I feel like I want there is more wanting, whereas some of these players, I feel like, I'm fine. I've seen enough. But for her, I really do think that she could come back. And whether or not, you know, to your point about, you know, is she going to play a different game? Is she going to now just be able to play her game because she can stay longer? I just think it would be there's an unfinished storyline there and I want to see it play out.
Mm hmm. So you have, we'll go back around to you, Liana. Now, I think you have,
I have a point left.
You have 1 point left. Who are you giving it to?
Bradley.
Really?
Yes. Oh my God. Cause he's just so much fun to hate. So I love him. So I would like him to come back. Not because.
Yeah. Co-signed. Yeah. I'm putting all my additional points on Bradley.
Yeah. Hunger Games up. Bradley, you get a care package or an airlift or whatever they call them.
Could you imagine Bradley? I mean, Bradley would totally be one of these like District 1 people, right? He'd be like, oh, things are so much better in the Capitol.
Capitol's just way better. Oh, you guys have a lot of coal out here. It's very dirty. I don't like it.
Yeah, this care package sucks.
Bottled water.
Oh, it's not even. It's not even Dasani.
Katniss, come on.
Bark yes, clapping, barking orders. I'm hungry, Katniss.
That's a good point. Yeah, so Jess, you expend your other points on Bradley as well. What do you think a Bradley return appearance would be like? Do you think that sort of grouchy personality is going to come out again, or do you think we're going to get more of a more strategic-centric Bradley rather than a personality-centric?
Well, I think he's going to be someone who's a little acutely aware of how he came off on TV. And as much as he says he doesn't care, he's going to go out, at least for the first couple of days, he's going to be much more subdued. And he's going to try to be the strategic mastermind that he thought he was going to come across as. But I think as time goes on, you know, the longer you're out there, the less you can really control how you're presenting yourself. And so I think Whitey Bradley comes out after about day six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think he would try to play a different game, but I think his personality, just from watching his preseason videos, I was like, ooh, this guy just has a real set personality and it's going to come out. And I think once the hunger starts to set in, I think, yeah, we're going to get Bradley back.
So I have one point left here and I'm trying to, you know, debate who I want to throw it on to. This might be a little bit of an interesting pick, but I'm going to go back to the person who sort of prompted this question for me. I'll throw a point onto Michael, but under the caveat that he wait at least 2 years before coming back, because that's the main reason that I want to see him come back, is because you look at someone like Kimmy Kappenberg, who, you know, played the game the first time in her 20s and the next time when she was a mother of two, and how differently she sort of approached those experiences. I would want to see an older and wiser Michael come back. And even though, yes, he definitely does not act 18, I want to see if he's more wise into the ways of the world, how might he approach the game a little bit differently. So I'll throw a point onto Michael there to finish things off.
I would co-sign that if it's 5 years. Mm. I don't think
I would co-sign that if it's 18 and he comes back and he's 36 and he's a married father of three.
Oh, how cute.
Wow.
No,
18
years. I want him while he's still young. Yeah.
He's still going to look that age. He's still going to look just like he does now.
That's true.
He's going to look exactly the same. Yeah. But he comes back and he's 36 and, you know, he's playing against people that aren't even born yet.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, maybe he just doesn't. Okay, so, you know, there's like normal aging, then there's Benjamin Buttoning. Maybe he's neither. He just doesn't age at all. He's a vampire also. Oh my god.
He's just Dorian Gray. Dorian Gray, where there's some sort of picture on Ghost, there's some sort of painted cave on Ghost Island that has a picture and it's slowly growing frail.
Right, yeah, exactly. And he's okay. All right, you go Oscar Wilde.
I just thought that'd be an interesting exercise to sort of divvy up points between who you want to see back and how much you want to see them come back. It's always, the season hasn't finished yet, but I think it's always nice to sort of take a look at it, especially among this cast, who I still feel like is very strong. And then I'd be intrigued to hear from you all out there too. You know, if you had 5 points, how would you divvy this up in the big Hunger Games-esque draw for the next Survivor season? I don't know, do you think that could be a thing? Because, like, if they do another, like, second chances vote, it's like, okay, the more votes you get, the more ballots you get in that draw, and that's how you get on the show.
Oh, that'd be cool. I don't know. Can you write in? There should be a write-in ballot, because I think we could start writing in the memes, right? So, like, you vote for Salt Bay or Bodie McBoatface.
All right, we've got 3 players left. We've got Spencer, we've got Joey Amazing, and we've got Chocolate Rain. And the 20th member of the cast is Chocolate Rain. You're going to Fiji.
Yes.
P.S. Chocolate Rain randomly followed me on Twitter out of nowhere. I do not follow him, or I follow him now, but
what?
Out of nowhere, I got followed by Tay Zonde. I was very excited.
So you got the in.
He's going on Survivor. I think he wants to follow all the people talking about it before the show starts.
Yeah.
He's going full Scaramucci.
Oh, the full mooch. Ugh. Smart. Yeah.
Well, let's finish things off here with the thing we finish each and every week here on the RHAP B&B, the question of the week. Last week's question of the week, in honor of Wendell's fantastic diss track on Chris in the voting booth, how would you make your mark in the voting booth if you were on Survivor? As per usual, we'll read out your answers out there and then go around the panel and give our answers. First, let me start with Slav M, who says, I would do a Bob Ross impression. Yeah, these are happy little letters.
Damn it, that was mine.
Darn it. If I get voted out, I could claim I saw it coming and it was a Jacob Derwin impression.
Oh my goodness.
Well, if you do a Jacob Derwin impression, though, you have to walk out without your shoes on.
Yeah, of course. without your shoes on. Yeah. Can you do you get sent to Ghost Island also, or how does that work?
What is a Jacob Derwin impression necessarily?
I have no idea. Do you need you gotta have the fro, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you gotta sing Mira from Manhattan.
That's true. Oh, that'd be interesting. Yes, instead of singing Na 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 Hey Hey Goodbye, you sing a track off of Jacob Derwin's self-titled album.
Oh, no.
Well, actually, this opens up a whole new field. You could sing songs from the whole back catalog of Truck 101.
That's true. Or you could do Wandoff songs.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, there'd be so many good ones.
Wandoff songs is a good
That would be a truly meta level if a contestant was like competing for a wombat hat while they were competing on Survivor. I feel like they had to get like a truckload of those things if they're sacrificing their game potentially to get a song parody in there for the Wandoff ahead of time.
If I ever got cast for Survivor, I bet casting would throw out half my wardrobe because it would entirely be attempts for me to sneak RHAP references into my clothing.
Yes.
And they would catch all of them.
Do you think, well, you can't do like, I mean, if you wore, like, you can't wear an RHAP shirt, right? Because they wouldn't allow you to do that. So I'd have to be subtle.
I'd have to be super subtle. Like I might like have a bell embroidered on it. Yeah,
pull like a PG when she made like the flint jacket and the fish hook earrings. Try to insert like RHAP props among your wardrobe.
Hmm. I think that's good. Well, I don't know, because okay, I think it's doable. I like it.
All right, next up we have Dan Sinensky, who says the move is to mumble then yell a tribe mate's name until you've gone through everyone. Gotta flush those idols. So Dan is essentially calling for, you know, a roll call, but doing it like Dominic to just throw everybody off as if this person was somehow going to simultaneously vote for everyone at the same time.
That's some next level strategy. That's like 18D chess. How do you, I feel like eventually the production could be like, just go sit down. Please go sit down. Stop yelling people's names.
Do you think people get prompted to go sit down? Or do you think like if someone has a full voting confessional, they have to like wait and politely sit until they're done?
Well, I think Jeff Probst yells at you. Didn't he curse out Rob when Rob did the Nana Hey Hey?
Yeah, he said that, you know, I can't believe you did that. That'll never get shown. But I mean, I'm also thinking of when he peeked in on Hannah vote stalling in the booth. Yeah. Like, he might do that.
Yeah. Oh, that was so good. No, I think what they have is they have the music that they play at the Oscars when somebody's taking too long for their speech and they just start playing it in the background.
Is that Jacob Derwin's song?
Yeah, and it's from J. Derwin's album.
Next up, Parker Schimmler says, write all your votes in Wingdings and speak in Klingon during confessionals. But provide Jeff in production with translation so they can subtitle you. Jess, this has to be close to your heart, right?
I like this one pretty well. This is good. But why wouldn't you just write your vote in Klingon as well?
Confusion, obviously, you know. I don't know. I don't know. Is there a written language for Klingon? And is it easy enough to learn?
Yeah, there is. I think if you're learning the spoken language, you might as well go ahead and also learn the written language.
That makes sense. I don't know, though. I feel like Wingdings is pretty useful, you know, if you're trying to decide which language to learn.
Who is a male sign flag beaver?
Yeah. You just write bye-bye Denver Diva, but write it in Wingdings.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Jeff. I meant bye-bye Denver Diva, obviously. Obviously. Talk about 18-dimensional chess with your votes. Troyer, not to be confused with Troy Zan, says, I think an obnoxiously loud cackle from the voting booth might make the edit. So essentially, Troyer is suggesting you go out there, write your vote, and just go, ha! And then sit down.
Wait, is it
so,
just one?
Sort of Michaela-esque.
Oh, yeah. Do you need a cup for that?
Only if you get the reward from tea sipping Kermit.
Only if you get the meme reward. Is it hot or is it multiple, like, ha ha ha? Mm. I feel like that's more what it's
like. A witch's cackle?
Yeah, yeah.
That could be fun.
Oh, well, like a witch's coven.
That'd be fun as well. Survivor Swapped says, to make my mark in the voting booth, I would make a fake idol and then leave it at the voting booth after I vote. The next person who goes up and votes will find it and assume it's a real idol. I like this idea because it's like someone saying, like, whoops, I left my idol behind. Because I was looking at it while I voted, and now someone gets to pick it up and play it.
As long as it looks better than the effing stick. Although now that the effing stick is a real idol, people might believe it if you put something out there that crappy. I mean, Chris thought that the seashell necklace was real.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done for Chris.
That'd be great if Dominic left it behind and he like wrapped it up in a parchment and like left it there. It says for Chris, and Chris is like, oh boy, found this just in the nick of time, even though I have an idol. Actually, no, because he wouldn't play that idol. He'd have two idols and he wouldn't play either one of them. It's James all over again.
Goes home with two idols in his pocket. Chris.
Finally, let's go to Elizabeth. I would decorate my votes with doodles and emojis that have absolutely nothing to do with the cast members in hopes to create bizarre paranoia. Yeah, Jess, shades of Jenny from Survivor Cook Islands drawing stuff on Christina Correa, one of my favorite Survivor Sucks threads back in the day.
This is very close to Wingdings, right?
Well, this is kind of a half of what I had envisioned, which was you do a Bob Ross impression while you draw like a very realistic caricature of the person you are voting for.
But are we doing
that's so cool with little happy trees?
Well, I was going to say, but are we doing caricatures in like boardwalk caricature? Like, here's Libby on a go-kart.
Well, yeah. But it would be like something she was into. So it would be like, here's Libby hawking something on Instagram.
Libby with her pearl powder ageless cream.
Okay. So speaking of votes, I wrote three things down for my episode thoughts while I watched the episode. And one of those three things was when Seabass wrote Lumberlegs.
Michael Lumberlegs.
I'm sorry, what?
I got this new product, guys. It's called Michael Lumberlegs. He's a giant doll that has tree trunk thighs you could practice wood chopping on. Mark Cuban, you in? I know you're in on this one.
This sounds like he's in the /r/trees subreddit.
Oh, man.
I know a thing or two about trees.
Yeah. Love me some trees. Actually, the only thing when you were talking about a doll called Michael Lumberlegs was Stretch Armstrong. And I don't know why that popped into my head.
I'm picturing like Michael, but his legs are Lincoln logs.
The only doll with wooden legs. Durable.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, hey, we talked about Seabass going on Shark Tank, guys. I think we have a great idea here.
Wait a minute. What if Michael Lumberlegs has two effing sticks for legs?
Just effing sticks.
You found Michael Lumberlegs. This counts brilliant. For two immunity idols that you can detach and use at any tribal council.
Yes. I'm so excited for Ghost Island season 69.
Perfect. Pick a number between one and Ghost Island number 69. So I guess I took this question quite literally. Mine was to, every time I went up to the voting booth, take the marker and like draw something on myself. Just to entertain myself due to the sheer amount of boredom on there. So maybe like a tic-tac-toe board, maybe like a series of numbers, like a prison tattoo or 24601, so I can rip open my chest and sing Jean Valjean when I'm bored.
Mine was actually really similar. So I was super tired when I came up with this, but for some reason I just laughed really hard. So I would take the marker, I would draw on my hand, but I would draw little eyeballs. You know those like little hand puppets where you use your fist and use your thumb as the mouth? Yes. I'd draw little eyeballs and a little nose and whatnot and decorate them all out. And then through ventriloquism, which I assume I would have time to perfect while I'm waiting on the island, I would do my vote. I would like duck down and it's sort of like a hand puppet show. it'd be like, Chris, you're trash at rapping. Although I guess I don't know why it has to be ventriloquism if I'm ducked down. I don't know. I didn't really quite think this out.
Well, that saves you some time. You can spend that time that you were going to learn ventriloquism thinking about the clever things that your hand puppet's gonna say.
That's right. I just everything.
You have to work in some hand puns. Just,
yeah, okay. Well, I'll channel my
I can't my quite clue. Put my finger on why I'm going to vote you
I
out.
I was thumbing through the votes and yeah, I think this is good. I think this is good.
I'd like to play the steal a vote. I'm going to cancel Liana's hands vote tonight.
Oh no, that's so sad.
Now you have to vote with your feet like Baylor.
Oh, yeah. She was real good at it.
And then if Jeff can decipher it, then the vote actually counts. I just love this, like you doing like a Cartman doing Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. It's just, oh man, one of the lines that I pulled for the Mad Libs was Michael yells, "Tacos, Dom." That's what I'll have my hand puppet say.
Next week's question of the week. So I was inspired for this one by Libby's Ponderosa. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Kirk Clark actually brought this up, that Libby's thing, outside from being getting much like the Rise clothing company, like a very professionally shot video of her like waking up and the light falling just right on her face, and they filmed her taking a shower for some reason. But the other thing that she does is she goes to the grocery store and she cooks her own recipe, a tropical tikka masala. So what I'd like to do is we're going to create a Survivor cookbook. So what I want you all to do out there, and we'll do this next week as well, come in with a Survivor player and the dish that they are going to provide for the Survivor cookbook. I'm willing to hear any and all really stupid puns about this. It should be very excited, as Liana and I are going to be joined by our RuPaul's Drag Race co-host, Brent Wolgamott, to break down episode 10. We're getting into the double digits. We did a lot of numbers today. We've gotten to the double digits of Survivor Ghost Island. We'll be back with Brent next week to talk about this Survivor cookbook, and assuming so much more. Jessica, this was an absolute ridiculous show. Thank you for taking this roller coaster ride with us now that we're finally at the end.
I'm so sorry to have to be voted off of Survivor Meme Island now.
Aww, that would be so sad. Can you imagine? First one out, Survivor Meme Island. I can see Josh Wigler doing it now.
Oh, that's some bad luck, Brian, right there.
Yes, and then when you get voted out, you get a meme according to how you played your game. I think it fits.
Yeah, bad luck Brian got done in by Scumbag Steve. It was quite a Brian blindside. Well, Jess, how can people follow you on social media? And what have you been working on, particularly in the Walking Dead verse on post-show recaps?
Well, right now, Rob and I are recapping Fear the Walking Dead. We record that every Sunday night right after the episode. And the season looks like it's actually going to be good, which if you have been following Fear the Walking Dead from day one, God bless you. Because even I dropped off for a while, but we're excited. We're having a good time with it. And you can find that over on Post Show Recaps. And I'm going to be doing some guest spots on various other podcasts. I know I've got a stint on This Week in Survivor History coming up, and I'm going to be recording an episode for Mario Lanza's Staff Pick podcast coming up very soon as well. So very busy in the podcasting world, and you can follow me on Twitter at Haymaker Hattie.
Liana,
tell Jordan Kalish I say hi.
I certainly will.
Liana is on Twitter at Liana Boris. And you can always check her out doing the Big Brother Canada recaps as well as the RuPaul Drag Race recap. But more currently, Liana, you are going to be at Boston Know-It-Alls, correct, this next week?
That is correct. I'll be there. I'm super stoked.
Should B&B listeners like give you a secret phrase to know that they're listening to the podcast when they see you there?
Oh my gosh, I love that stuff. Oh, I wish I'd thought of it beforehand, like some sort of secret code. Okay, what's our well, it's got to be butt chunk, right? Like good riddance.
They gotta just
chunk.
Run up to your face and yell 69 69 69.
Yeah, or shut up Rhonda.
Yeah, say shut up Rhonda. I feel like shut up Rhonda or like butt chunk 69 might be
yes, that's what I want all night. People coming up to me and saying, good riddance, butt chunk 69. Shut up, Rhonda.
Yeah, perfect way to make it good to meet somebody is yell those like perfunctory statements in their face.
What if they find somebody else that they think is you and is not actually you? Oh, no. And they do that to them? This is great.
What if they run up to Libby and yell that? Libby will be so confused. She'll be like, but I thought it's Christmas.
Yeah, stop. Don't do this on the most wonderful time of the year.
That's right. Hey, ruining the holidays.
I will not share 18 acres of pizza with you. You can always follow me on Twitter at a Mike Bloom type. Check out the exit press I do for parade.com. I just got to talk with Libby via email this past week. I'm also doing a bunch of TV coverage for Parade as well. I've been intermittently attending panels and screenings for the Tribeca Film Festival. So I've gotten to do a lot of stuff about Westworld, about Genius Picasso. I wrote some stuff about going to the Nat Geo upfronts as well. So if you're a fan of TV in general, I really appreciate it if you check that out. Also be doing Westworld coverage with the Jay and Jack podcast as it premieres this weekend as well. On the wrap-up side, I had the pleasure of joining Shannon Gates in her first ever hosting experience. We got to preview the Survivor New Zealand Season 2 Castaways, a subject Leon and I have talked about before, and all the other random things I do, American Idol, Drag Race, etc. But that's going to do it for this week on the B&B. Jessica, thank you so much for coming on. Liana, fantastic work as always. Can't wait for you to come back with some crazy fun stories at Boston Know-It-Alls. I'm excited to listen to it, and I'm excited to get back to everything with Brent Wolgamott next week. Thank you all so much for listening. If you want to submit any game ideas to us or give us any longer answers to your question of the week, you can always reach out to us, hashtag RHAPBNB, or you can always email us at RHAPBNB@gmail.com. A special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing this all together, Wolf of America for our theme song, and of course, head writer Paul Osselson. That's going to do it for this week on the B&B. Thank you again all so much for listening, and we'll check you out at your next day, but
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P.
sounds cool. I can tell you the name. It's the RHA.